evening, and welcome to a far overdue episode of King Candid.
You're not kidding.
There's been a lot. I don't know if you've been outside recently, but there's a lot of things kind of going on in the world today, and they have affected everyone, your hosts here included, not to mention some other injuries and various other issues. I'm currently nursing an injury and things of that nature, so we've been kind of off the grid for a little bit, but we are back, and we have some things. We have some thoughts. So,
indeed.
With that said, we're going to jump on into it and touch on what we wanted to bring to you guys' attention this evening and go from there. And I know Jay brought us a topic today that he would very much like to talk about, and I have one of my own. So we will start with yours and then move forward.
This one was, amazingly enough, brought to me by my daughter. She specifically said this is something that she'd like to see us touch on. Not that she listens to the show yet, but she does know that it's something I'm involved in. And she says it was something that she'd like to see us touch on. There's a group of individuals. I won't call them kinksters because they don't, in my head, and hopefully in yours, they don't quite deserve the label. They call themselves minor attracted persons. Now, as far as I can tell, this is a fancy terminology trying to bring some respectability to something that I've always called pedophilia.
It is. It's an offshoot, I think, of the fact that there's been a small but vocal group of such people who think they should be included under the LGBT umbrella, that it is an orientation in the same way that one can be straight or gay. And it isn't, not really, but that's sort of their way of trying to give legitimacy to it. I do think it's probably hardwired.
There's a difference here. Being straight or gay is not against the law. Being pansexual is not against the law. Because, and I know that you've found other ways of measuring your relationship aside from safe, sane, and consensual, but I think we can both agree that consent plays a vital part in any kink relationship, and there's a problem that these people seem to want to willfully ignore. A minor can't give consent.
Right. And I just came up interesting. It's interesting to me that you bring this to the show, because I just literally just yesterday saw a post on, I'm a member of, as we've talked about on the show before, I'm the social media active part of the show here. I tend to have more of a finger on the pulse of lifestyle themed social media. And I'm in a network of groups, and one of them came in, and it was quite literally that people were trying to argue that being attracted to children was, in fact, some sort of a kink, which, no, it is not. It is not. that's just pedophilia. Children are not consenting adults, therefore, children are not able to give consent. We recognize this, legally speaking, that children are not able to give consent, and as such, that puts them well and truly out of the lifestyle. Because, as you say, well, and the thing is, even in the other acronyms, I don't use SSC, I use RAC personally, but a lot, they're all valid in their own way, but all of them include the letter C, because C is important. C is consent, and consent matters. so I don't belong in the LGBT umbrella, and I don't belong in the kink umbrella either. It's not a kink. I have more sympathy than most, I will say, because I do say that some people who have the urges that we're talking about are, it's hardwired in a sense, but you are responsible in the same way that addiction is hardwired, but you are responsible for your actions. And I think that's the key thing to keep in mind.
If you're attracted to them at 16, you can wait 2 years till they're able to give consent, is the way I see
it. And, you know, and I think the thing is, the thing to keep in mind is that it's not even, a lot of these that call themselves minor attracted aren't even talking about 16-year-olds. Most of the ones who are trying to use that particular acronym are attracted to, like, 8-year-olds.
Yeah, see, and this is where a problem begins. I'm going to need them all to take a
So, you know, it's an issue. But I don't, it's interesting because I don't know, it's funny to me, they started with this attempt to gain legitimacy by claiming that they were part of the LGBT umbrella. And the LGBT community soundly said, no, thank you.
No.
And that didn't work. So I guess the current tactic is attempt to claim that it's a kink, because I guess somehow they think that will be better or will go better.
Again, no.
No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. And I think there are people, there's two different groups I think we're talking about here. You have people who have urges toward underage people that it isn't something they chose and they're not choosing to act on it, which is unfortunate for them because that sucks to have those feelings against your will. But those who are looking for a new acronym to gain some sort of legitimacy and join and claim that it's somehow the same thing as what we do, it's not the same group of people. This is not to be confused, just for the record, I feel the need to state this because this was the first assumption when it was brought to light in one of the groups here recently. This is not to be confused with age play as a kink.
No.
That is a very different thing. Age play is its own thing. I have strong feelings about the difference between age play and age regression, which I don't know if we're prepared to get into, but I have strong feelings on that topic. But age play is not the same thing as what we're talking about here. Age play is legally aged folk attempting to address whatever kinks they do have in a healthy and consensual way with their legal age partners, which is totally fine. Because DDLG age play is not, in fact, the same thing as pedophilia. It's a common misconception, but it's really not.
Agreed.
I do think if you are playing sexually with someone who actually age regresses from it, as in the use of the term in the therapeutic sense, that gets a little dicey. Because there's a very, very real difference between age play and age regression.
Yes.
And some people do both, but they are in fact separate. And age play as a sexual activity is fine. Sexual activity when your partner is age regressed gets a little dicey, in my opinion. That crosses into some weird areas for me. And I'm not really personally okay with it, but that's an opinion rather than a legal distinction.
Agreed.
it just does weird things for in my brain, and I'm not okay with it. Which brings me our need to no thank you to the minor attracted folk. This is not your party. Please find the door. No thank you. And that brings me to the common defense for that, which runs nicely into my other topic. And we have touched on this. We were talking about this before we started the show. We have touched on this topic before, but it's worth repeating because it is such a massive problem. As I said, I am pretty active on social media, and I have recently found myself into a network of Facebook groups that I will not name, just due to other people's privacy, but there's a network of groups, and they are operated by what we have taken to calling lifestyle traditionalists. And we find ourselves confronted with what is referred to as TNG, the next generation, the new generation, or the new guard, depending on who you ask. And this is not an age thing. I will say that. Traditionally, the term TNG in the lifestyle meant groups for those under, say 30 or 35, depending on where you were. And it just meant age, not philosophy. When we use that terminology in these groups, we are talking specifically about the differences in philosophy of the lifestyle that come from newer kink-themed groups and mindsets that are not traditional within the lifestyle, that do not have the roots in the lifestyle. And so it doesn't matter how old you are, believing certain things is what labels you TNG in our groups rather than age. That is important to note for the purposes of this conversation. And there are a couple of things that come up over and over and over again because they're very popular with the new guard, as it were. One, which I will briefly touch on, is a man by the name of Michael Makai, M-A-K-A-I. Not his legal name. It is a pen name that he wrote under. He is the lovely individual that gave us the terminology of an alpha sub, which we have been working to dispute on a regular basis. Alpha sub is a thing, but only in one very specific sense. The alpha sub only exists from a traditional standpoint as the head or lead submissive in a poly household. What we would call it, Jay, a first girl.
Right. I was going to say, this is not a term I've ever used. So thank you for the education.
You would refer to that as a first girl. That's the term I would use. Other people refer to that as the alpha sub. She's the first girl in a multi-submissive household. And that's a real thing that exists. And don't get me wrong. But when we say that an alpha sub doesn't exist, it doesn't exist in the way the new guard is tending to use it. By which I mean they think that somehow an alpha sub, they use it to mean a submissive female who is strong or independent or successful in her career, et cetera, but is in fact still a submissive.
Okay.
To which several of us will say...
A shooter drop.
To which most of us say... As opposed to what? Do you think that the rest of us are in fact not smart or strong or successful? Do you think you are special because you are not in fact a doormat? I inform you, you are in fact not special. Most of us are not doormats.
I have no time for doormats.
Well, that's what he says too. We are strong, capable, intelligent women. Alpha sub is only ever applied to females, so that's why I keep using the female terminology. It's never used to apply to males. It's only a female term. And most of us are strong, capable, intelligent women.
Mm-hmm.
this does not make us unique in some way. Most submissives are. Very few of us are mewling doormats who have no brains of our own. So the term alpha sub really is irrelevant unless you are a polydynamic and there are multiple subs in your house and you choose to use alpha sub to designate the head lead submissive. It is not a thing that exists. Here's why that matters. One, it gives these girls some excuse to claim that they are somehow more special than the rest of us because they are an alpha sub, because they are smart and intelligent and confident. And we're going, yeah, okay, so are the rest of us, but all right, do you. Go off, I guess. The other reason that matters is because the man who coined that term in that context is the aforementioned Michael McKay.
Uh-huh.
Here's why you may not know who Michael McKay is. Michael McKay is currently doing time in federal prison for luring underage girls to his ranch and abusing them.
Okay.
Words matter.
They
and
do.
The source matters. He's very popular with the TNZ crowd. The other thing is, of course, and you've heard me rant on it before, and I promise I will keep it to a minimum. The whole concept of...
You've got all the time in the world. Be my guest.
The concept of the bratty submissive makes me want to pull my hair out.
You're not the only one.
Because bratty submissive is either used to mean, again, I'm just playful. I laugh and joke and play around. And we're going, again, that's most of us.
Yeah.
I have fun with my dom. That's why I'm a bratty sub. Do you think the rest of us are not having fun? I promise you, if you're not having it fun, I very rarely will tell you you're doing the lifestyle wrong. If you are not having fun in your dynamic, you are doing it wrong.
Agreed.
It's supposed to be fun. Okay, and so you don't need a special term to designate that you laugh and joke and have fun with your dominance. The rest of us do that too. You are not that special.
No.
And it's also used to mean the kinky bottoms who do not want to actually submit. Yeah. In the past, I have been...
Go find something else to do.
I have been treated to in the past week. I have seen the repeated insistence that subs, in fact, like being punished. And that it is enjoyable to them, that it's fun. And I'm going... If it is fun, it is not punishment.
Exactly.
That defeats the point.
Again, we need to work on your definition of terms.
Words have meanings. Punishment is added. Punishment is behavior modification. It is meant to not be fun in order to modify behavior. That's its point. If you are enjoying it, it's not a punishment. And this leap goes back to the whole Brad thing, because, well, I only do it because I want him to punish me. You should not want him to punish you. That is defeating the purpose of punishment.
Exactly.
And I was treated to a meme that was shared in a group I'm in and asked for our thoughts on it that quite literally read, "To the sir it may concern, I do what I want whenever I want. Sincerely, your bratty baby girl."
And you're welcome to do whatever you want, whenever you want, but not in my house or in a relationship with me. And that is my answer. No.
And I got told today that I was advocating for abuse or something mumble because someone asked over on Reddit if a sub had the right, is in the ability, to refuse a punishment if they, and I quote, just didn't want to do it.
No.
To which my answer was...
And this defeats the purpose of punishment.
Well, yes. And my point, my answer was as follows. Yes, you can do that, but you need to be aware that that may, for many DOMs, that will end your dynamic.
Indeed.
If you agreed to a dynamic that includes punishment and then capriciously decide, you just don't wanna do it, then they're well within their rights and may very well decide that they don't wanna be in a dynamic with you anymore at all.
And I would applaud that decision.
I would too, honestly, because I mean, what is this? This is not submission. This is not a power exchange. This is kinky sex, and that's fine if that's all you want, but at least be honest about it.
Thank you.
Just be honest. If that's what you want, that's what you want. That's fine. That's cool. Do you, but please don't call it being a submissive when you're not actually submitting. The other one that's coming up a lot with the TNG folk are the you can safe word for anything and everything.
No.
If you don't feel like being punished at that moment, you should safe word out of it. To which, when asked, is that how it worked? Several of us said, if I tried that, I would find myself safe wording my way right out of my collar. Okay? I can assure you. Safe words, the words have meaning. Safe words are for emergencies. Their use should be rare.
Indeed.
Because most situations, if you've been together a while, chances are good your partner is going to notice things that are going awry before they get to that point. And most of the time, if it's a minor issue, such as you are getting a cramp in your leg from a position, can be communicated by using your words and saying, I have a cramp in my leg, can we change positions?
Can we do something about it? Yeah.
Just speak up. Use your words. Safe words are for something has gone horribly wrong. It has reached a dangerous point. And I need to communicate very, very quickly that we need to address this right now. And I do not have time to use my words in the normal fashion. That is what safe words are for. They are not for, I have a cramp, I have to pee, or I'm just in a bad mood. No, see, this is not, no. Just no, no. In all of the time he and I have been together, I've never used my safe word. Not once. Never. Because, you see, one, he pays attention, and chances are good if something is going odd, he's going to notice well before I communicate. I need to communicate it. And two, I am a big girl who can use my words.
Yep.
And say things like, my leg hurts, or I have to pee. Like, I can use my words, I promise.
I could be misremembering because it has been quite a while, but I don't remember a time you used your safe word even when you were with me.
No. I think I've used it once, and it was not with you nor with him.
I mean, it's always existed. It's always been a thing because it kind of has to. But I don't think we ever got to a point where you had to resort to that.
No, it never happened, and it's never happened with him for the same reasons. One, good dominants who know their submissives will pay attention, and most times, more often than not, will notice. They read body language. They read these things, and they kind of go, okay, something doesn't seem quite right. Are you okay?
What's wrong? What do we need to...
Yeah, what's up? What do we need to change? What's going on? And, you know, he does that a lot with me now, where he'll ask me, are you okay? Do you want more? Are you still good? he checks in a lot because he reads my body language and knows if something's going sideways. And I, like I said before, I have words. I'm a very big girl, and I can use my words all by myself and say, I have to pee, or my leg hurts.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard to just communicate with your partner. The safe word is not... Safe word is an emergency fire alarm, not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
That's a perfect way of describing it, yes.
And I don't quite understand, but it brings me to my deeper point that several things have come up here. One, safe words are not get-out-of-jail-free cards. They are emergency stoplights, emergency fire alarm. Two, no, you should not be able to just safe word out of a punishment because you don't feel like it. No, punishment is not supposed to be fun. If it's fun, it's not a punishment. And big one, and I'll just straight up say it because I don't care at this point in my life. Brats, not submissive. Submissive are not bratty, and bratty girls are not submissive. They are kinky bottoms, and that is okay. It is a, as I'm fond of telling them, brat is a fine thing to be with a willing partner. It is not, however, a subcategory of submissive.
No.
Point blank, full stop, period. It just isn't. Now, bigger point. If I say any of those things amongst the PNG crowd, guess what accusation gets thrown at me so fast you'll make your head spin?
You get accused of kink shaming.
Kink shaming. Using the proper definitions of words and understanding the fact that these traditions, it's like we, a couple of the girls in the group, Sharon, sharing these our experiences on it, and myself have, between us, we have, my God, a ridiculous amount of experience, okay? I am amongst the small group that I'm referring to. I am one of the least experienced among them. And I have 2 decades at this. So we have a collective ridiculous amount of experience. And all of us understand, and this is something that I think the new guard needs to learn too, these traditions predate any of us. These terms, these words, these meanings, these traditions go back way further than any of us. And respecting that is not kink shaming. It's keeping something that is awesome in the form that it was intended to be. And I think some of these newer ones don't really understand that. The traditions do matter.
They do, yeah. And they should.
The difference between a sub and a slave matters. It matters. The difference between a brat and a submissive matters. If you don't, and another one, you can't just redefine words. Brat does not suddenly mean submissive just because you say it does. Safe word does not mean get out of jail free card just because you say it does. And your relationship does not become 24/7 just because you say it is if you don't actually do it 24/7. If you are 24/7 but only on the weekend, you are in fact not 24/7.
I'm confused.
Okay. That's a thing that I discovered recently that the new guard likes to tell us. You can be part-time 24/7.
No.
And I was like, honey, but no.
Honey, do we need to take you and educate you as to what 24 hours a day, 7 days a week actually means?
I was baffled. I really was. I was like, What do you mean it's not all the time? But that's what 24/7 means. It means all the time. That's the definition of 24/7. That's literally in the name. Well, no, we still take time out of our dynamic. We have time off, time out of dynamic. We're only 24/7, you know, when we're on. But that's not 24/7.
Oh, my God.
Like, literally, by definition, it's not. It just isn't.
And I thought my ankle hurt.
Yeah. The other one that I'm particularly fond of that baffled me, I literally stared at my screen for like a minute and a half going, do what now? You and I both live in what are properly referred to as TPE dynamics.
Indeed.
It is important to note that what makes it TPE, and I explained this to someone just the other day, what makes this dynamic TPE from my end, or for that matter, your girl's end, is the fact that there is no part of our life that our dominant partners cannot take control of. And the reason that I make that distinction is because it is important to note that just because he can doesn't mean he necessarily chooses to do so. You see?
No. Or choose
the thing that makes
it all the time.
Right. The thing that makes it TPE is that what he doesn't take control of is his choice, not mine. I didn't take that control away from him. He decided, because he, as I've talked about before, he's not a micromanagement kind of guy. He's really not. Could he decide he wanted to pick my clothes out for me every day? He absolutely could decide that. He does not choose to do that because it is not something he wants to do in our lives. Like, he doesn't, that's not a thing he doesn't need to do. And that's okay. But the reason he doesn't pick my clothes out is because he doesn't choose to pick out my clothes, not because I told him he can't. A TPE dynamic does not include, okay, it gets complicated and I have to explain it because it's something that it's difficult to put into words. From a traditional standpoint, a TPE dynamic does not include the slave setting limits. By which I mean, we vetted in such a way and got to know our dominance well enough that we don't need to. We knew what was on the table and what was not on the table before we entered into this dynamic.
Right.
I don't set limits for him at this point. I went into this knowing that the things that I was not okay with were not on the table because we had had those discussions well and truly ahead of time. This is not something that can be taken lightly.
Nor should it.
And telling me that you are a 24/7 TPE dynamic when you've known you're dominant all of 2 weeks, I have some questions for both of you.
There are some concerns that need to be addressed.
You really, really, really need to know them. And you need to know them very, very, very well before you can be in a dynamic like this. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not something you take lightly. It's not something you jump into because you're finally 18 years old and can now enter the kink community and you decided you met this guy 2 weeks ago and he's the one and now you're his 24/7 TPE slave. Yeah, so, well, you need to pump the brakes. But these words, they have meanings. And telling you that words have meanings and that brat does not mean submissive, for example, is not, in fact, kink-shaming.
No.
telling you that your 24/7 relationship should in fact be 24/7, and that part-time 24/7 is not in fact a thing, also not kink-shaming.
No.
The facts are not kink-shaming, and if you feel shamed by the facts, that is a you problem that you should definitely look into. The words don't change. Science, gravity does not stop existing because you decide you don't believe in it. And the words don't change meaning because you don't like them.
I've grabbed it several times this week. It still exists.
Promise. Still a thing. And the words don't change. Words don't change meanings. Words don't suddenly become something they weren't just because you decided you don't like that word and you don't like what it means, so you're going to change it. I can be bratty and submissive. No. 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 Because being submissive, it is an incompatible behavior. You cannot do both at the same time. But you physically cannot. And please stop telling me, for the love of all that's holy, that punishment is supposed to be enjoyable to both parties. No.
No,
no it's not. No, it is not. Can we go back to the whole using your words thing? You see, the reason that we don't buy into the punishment nonsense in this house is because, you see, if I want to do those activities, if I would like a spanking, do you know what I do?
I know what you did when you were here.
I use my words.
Yeah.
I use my words, and I say to him, hey, I would really enjoy that. Would you mind doing that for me? It's really that simple. I just use my words and say, hey, would you mind? Very simple, really. And I can tell you right now that if I decided I wanted to act up and act a brat to get the spanking that I wanted instead of just asking him for it, I can guarantee you that is the one thing I would not get.
No.
Sorry. I thought that would not be a thing.
And it would not end well for you.
No, it would not. And it would definitely not be fun. That is an absolute certainty. He doesn't do that nonsense. So.
And I think you're rather glad.
I am. And so, you know, it's a system, but, you know, I think it all boils down to just because we tell you what a word means from a traditional standpoint, and yes, words do mean different things in the lifestyle than they do in the vanilla world. We just had a conversation about that. Most online groups, for example, have a rule, and this would be weird for you, I know, because you and I have a history with the sort of Gorian subset, but non-Gorian groups. Most online groups have a rule against referring to any other person by pet names or honorifics if you are not in a dynamic with them.
That makes sense.
It's considered, you know, crossing a boundary. So, no, you don't call her princess or baby girl or what have you. And no, we don't call them sir, even, which is an adjustment for some of us, I will admit.
I was going to say that couldn't have been easy for you.
It was not. Between my history in the lifestyle and the fact that I did grow up in the South, sir's pretty default for me. I respect the fact that that's the rule, and I understand why it exists. And so, you know, I've made an effort to respect it. And people keep wanting to make these arguments that, well, you know, we say that all the time in the South. We say that all the time in where I come from. We're going, yeah, and it's different in the lifestyle. Okay, words mean different things here than they do elsewhere. It's just a fact. Sir means something different in the lifestyle than it does outside of it. Brat is the same way. Brat means something different in the lifestyle than it does outside of it. And because that is true, it is even more important that we stick to a defined definition of what brat means within the lifestyle. punishment does not mean fun, brat does not mean submissive, stage four does not mean get out of jail free card, and 24/7 does not mean part time. And it is okay to tell people that, and it doesn't constitute kink shaming. I'm not telling you you're disgusting. I'm not even telling you you're doing it wrong. I'm just simply telling you that being what you are is defined differently than what you're claiming.
Yeah.
I do X, Y, and Z, and we go, okay, that's a brat, not a submissive. No, I'm a bratty sub. No, see, no. You're kink shaming me. I am not, in fact, kink shaming you. I am simply pointing out that there is a word for what you are, and it is not submissive. If you'd like to join us in being a submissive, we'll be happy to help you. And if you would like to remain being what you currently are because that's fun for you, then by all means, have at it. But call it what it is. And for the love of all the silly people, use your words. Okay? Just really, use your words. I promise. It will solve most of your problems. Use your words.
It will end more pain than it causes.
Yep. Use your words. I said that since the other day. I was like 95% of problems within lifestyle couples could be solved by the simple use of communication. The vast majority of issues that we run into in the lifestyle can be solved by simply communicating with your partner. If you just talk to your partner, you can find a solution to whatever problem you are having most of the time. And so I'm going to continue being out there educating your folk on the traditional ways of the lifestyle. And I'm, by some people's standards, still relatively new, but I've been doing this a while. I've learned a few things. And I can only speak for myself, but I can tell you that I still believe in the traditional definitions of words. And so when I speak here on King Candid, trust that I am using those traditional meanings.
If you weren't, I think it'd be much harder for you and I to have a conversation.
It would make it much more difficult. And I do. I want to kind of broach with our audience before we wrap up here some potential future topics. I am gauging interest right now in a lifestyle dictionary, so to speak. From a traditional standpoint, what the terminology means.
That sounds like something that could be fun for the two of us to get into.
Yeah, something I'm kind of gaining a little interest on. I am going to be writing a book as well. My book is called Willingly Given. And it's going to be about submission, the perspective of a lifestyle. So that'll be coming out as well. I'm still working on it, but it'll be a while, but I'm working on it now. And I think there's some other topics that maybe we can touch on. I know that I've seen a lot of indicators in online about, and we've talked about it on the show before, but you know, we talk a lot about red flags, and I just saw a post today that wants to talk about green flags, and I'd like to kind of delve into that a little bit here on the show. Since red flags, as a terminology, gets thrown around an awful lot, I'd like to talk about some green flags. We don't talk about that quite enough. And I think it'd be really interesting to delve into what's on that. And I'd like to also begin not a review, so to speak, but more of a just sort of a source note sort of thing of some of the books out there that you and I have collectively read on the topic of the lifestyle and which ones we think are of worth for new people. Because I'm sure we're getting some new folks out there listening, so. Like to kind of touch on that a little bit too. It could be very interesting.
As much as it's cool with street, I think it could be, again, a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I'm not sure with everything that's going on. I'm in the middle of some major career moves, so I'm going to hopefully sort of record next week. But I don't want to make promises I can't keep. So we'll keep you posted.
Yeah.
And until then, stay safe out there. And we will see you next time.
Look forward to it.
Okay, we are off.